Good evening. It's good to be here this evening in the house of God. It's a beautiful day today, and we're good to enjoy some much-needed rain outside right now. Reminds me of the showers of blessings that we experience each and every day that sometimes we take for granted. Dustin has asked us to read from Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6, and then skipping down to chapter 39, verses 20 to 23. One thing I appreciate about Joseph, and this is the story of Joseph here, no matter how high or how low he was in life, he never forgot God, and God definitely never forgot him. Reading from Genesis 39, starting at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he had left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. Now skipping down to chapter 39, verses 20 to the end of the chapter. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And the Lord was with Joseph and shewed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and Joseph, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. Let's kneel as we pray.
I too would like to greet each of you this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to see each of you here this evening that took time out of your schedules on this Lord's Day and came to worship together here this evening. As I thought of what I was going to speak about here this evening, I knew my turn was coming up here. I'm actually taking Brother Brian's spot. He was on for tonight, but obviously he has other responsibilities. And I knew my turn was coming up here, and I was thinking of what topic and title to speak on here this evening. And I had been thinking about there for a few days. And one evening in the kitchen, I was talking with my wife, and I said, I think I have a good title for a message. And she said, well, what's that? I said, blessed beyond measure. And you know, we kind of left it at that. She said, that sounds like a good topic. So we kind of left it at that. And a few days later, I'm in Dillsburg there working in a kitchen. I had to go back to a kitchen to do a few punch out items. The kitchen was pretty well finished. She had everything decorated. She had everything put away in her cabinets, and I had to go back and do replace a few doors and just a little odds and ends. And as I was there working, At one point I noticed a decorative paper towel holder sitting there beside the sink with a little plaque on it with some words. Does anybody want to guess what the words were? Blessed beyond measure. And it hit me kind of hard there. I know it's a very common saying. We see it around different places. But the way it all fell together, I took out my phone, I took a picture, and I sent it to my wife, and I said, reminded her of our conversation, And she texts back, she said, "Are you taking that as a confirmation?" And I said, "Well, wouldn't you?" So that's the title of the message this evening, Blessed Beyond Measure. And I had Derek read there in Genesis chapter 39 of Joseph, and it talks of God's blessing, God's prospering Joseph as Joseph goes through different times in his life there, and we see God's blessing upon Joseph there as he goes through his life. And I realize, like I said before, that blessed beyond measure is a fairly common saying. But I'd like to look at the idea of blessing. And another thought, I didn't really look ahead at the Sunday school lessons this morning either. And we had the Beatitudes of blessings there. So we might get some of the same thoughts here tonight as we did in the Sunday school hour. But I'm just going to go with what we got here. I feel like it is of God. So what does it mean to be blessed? Is blessing measured in the amount of fill in the blank that I have? The amount of children that I have, or the amount of cars that I have, or the amount of deer mounts that I have on the wall? How do we measure blessing? Is it measured in the amount of fill in the blank that I have? How do we measure how blessed we really are? What does Scripture say about giving or receiving blessings? You know, we say we are a blessed people. We say we are a blessed nation. What does that really mean? First of all, to get the idea of blessed or being blessed, we'd like to look at the dictionary definition of blessed. Now, blessed is the past tense of bless. So the dictionary definition of bless is to pronounce words in a religious rite, or to confer or invoke divine favor upon, or to ask God to look favorably on. So if to bless is to ask God to look favorably on, to be blessed is to have God's favor upon you. So what does God's favor, God's blessing, look like in your life? What does it look like in my life? Do you feel that God has and continues to show you favor? Or do you feel like you're not quite sure how things could get much worse? To be honest, there are many times in my own life where it seems like I'm just waiting for the next bad thing to happen. Everything's against me. The sun never shines. The future's dark. And there are other times in my life where it seems like nothing can go wrong. The birds are singing, the sun is shining, and the future seems bright. So what makes the difference? Am I blessed one day and not the other? What makes the difference? As I thought about being blessed, I'm going to tell a little story here. This goes back a couple years to the time that we spent there in Ukraine for 10 months. It was 2001. I was 13 years old when my father and mother and three brothers, along with Paul Shirk, his wife and family, moved to Ukraine. Many of you remember that. Supported by this congregation to assist Alex into looking into starting another congregation there in Chernihiv. As we made the move, as we flew into Chernihiv there, Alex picked us up at the airport. We drove back and we were showed to our houses there. We were within walking distance of the Shirk family. We got settled in. And I'm not sure how much time it took. It wasn't long. Alex, I don't think he wasted any time in getting Paul and Dad involved in services in the local hospitals and the orphanages. We had Sunday afternoon services. So it was a lot going on there. And we also did visitation, where we would go out and visit different people that Alex knew of, you know, poor or widows or whatever, we would go visit these people. And those 10 months had a profound impact on my life. And I don't think I'll ever forget some of the situations, some of the experiences we had while we were there. One such experience that I remember very vividly was a particular time when we went to visit a widow and her daughter. This would have been one of the first visits we would have been on, and when we would go to visit someone, we would get a fairly large bag and go to the market and fill it with food items and everyday essentials to give to the people we were visiting. So we filled the bag, you know, we were going off to the visit. We got to the apartment building, and we went up a few floors to a little apartment room, apartment there, two-room apartment, not two-bedroom, two-room. It was a little kitchen and a little small living room there that doubled as a bedroom. The bed doubled as a couch. There was some other seating there. And when we arrived there, we handed the mother the bag of food, and she was extremely grateful. And she takes it, you know, and goes into the kitchen with it. And the daughter takes us into the living room, and we sit down, we start to visit. And the mother's gone for some time. She's out in the kitchen, and we figure she's putting things away or, you know, whatever. And in a few minutes, she comes back into the room where we're sitting there with some plates of food. And one thing about Ukrainians is that they love to feed their guests. It's a, I don't know if it's a part of their culture or what, but every time you visit someone, they feed you. It's what they do. They bring you food and you're expected to eat. So she comes out with these plates of food, and we're passing them around, and we couldn't help to notice that a lot of the food that was on the plates was the same food that we had brought. The same food that we had brought in the bag for her and her daughter, she had on these plates. And it wasn't because that the food that we brought was any better than what she had. She had nothing else to put on the plates to bring out. That act of giving the only thing she had to these wealthy Americans just to be hospitable really left an impact on me. Giving what we had brought for her, giving it back to us. Remember, we're thinking about the idea of being blessed here tonight. And if we're thinking of terms of being blessed in the availability of food that we have, or heat, or running water, or air condition, or cars to drive in, good healthcare system, compared to a lot of the rest of the world, we have our complaints about the healthcare system. But if we're thinking in those terms, then we are blessed beyond measure here in United States, York County, Pennsylvania. In fact, we're downright spoiled. We're downright spoiled. But even in the situations like the one I just described, people who have very little or almost nothing can still, and some still do, have the feeling of being blessed with almost nothing. They have that they know they're blessed. So what is the secret? What determines if I'm blessed? What's the formula? Obviously, there are many people around this world who do not enjoy even what I enjoy in the basic things that I take for granted every day. And yet, many of these people would consider themselves to be blessed. They live with a joy that no earthly convenience could ever bring. My mind goes to Job. Job was a man who saw both ends of the spectrum, I believe. Job, there we read how he was an extremely wealthy man. He had herds and flocks. He had men and women servants. He had children there, sons and daughters. He was well known throughout the area there. And we know the story, how God allowed Satan there to try Job, and that everything was taken away that he had. His herds were taken away, stolen. His children were killed, or they died there. The building fell on them. Everything was taken away. Even his health was taken to the place where he sat in ashes and scraped the boils and stuff that were on him. But through all that, through losing everything, Job still held on. He understood that God was the one and the only one who had given him what he had, and now God had taken it away. Job knew the secret. He understood the formula. And we know the end of that story, how everything was restored to him again. I think double. Another example there in where Derek read for us this evening is in Genesis with Joseph. And we know that story too well, how Joseph's brothers hated him. They wanted to kill him. They had plotted to kill him. And I forget which one it was. Reuben maybe had talked him out of it and said, we'll sell him. So they sold him off into slavery. And they expected never to see him again. He's gone. We're getting rid of him. And in chapter 39 there that Derek read, we read of the blessing of God on Joseph. Now just remember where Joseph's at here. He's sold into slavery. He's a slave. And yet we read of nowhere where Joseph turned bitter or angry against God for his condition. In fact, it would imply the opposite. With God's blessing on him, we think that Joseph has continued to trust God and to hold God high. And we see God's blessing on Joseph. And we know the story goes on there, that everything seems to turn against Joseph again. He's falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. Again, maybe they would thought they'd never see Joseph again as he's thrown into prison there. And yet, we see God's favor following Joseph into the prison. And it doesn't take long there till Joseph is in charge of basically the prisoners in the prison himself. God's blessing, God's favor followed Joseph there into prison. I believe this really starts to give us a really good idea of the thought of blessing and God's favor. Because as we read on there in Joseph's account, we know he's eventually called before Pharaoh. And again, because of God's favor. As we look through Joseph's life, we see men around him being blessed because of the favor of God in his life. Those around him are even blessed. Pharaoh understood that. Or not Pharaoh, Potiphar. He saw that God's blessing was on Joseph. He said, you're going to take care of everything I have. Because I can see that God's blessing you. As he comes before Pharaoh there, because he interprets the dream, he's made second in command of Egypt. And ultimately, he provides a way of escape from the famine. He blesses all those people then because they were able to prepare for the famine. So what can we learn from the way of blessing? What can we learn from these two accounts? In both Joseph and in Job and Joseph, we see ups and downs in their circumstances. Both of them, you know, it was like a roller coaster. They both trusted God during the good times and through the trials. And in both cases, God's favor or blessing followed them through whatever trial they found themselves going through. If we turn to Psalms there, Psalms 23, another very familiar passage of Scripture, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When we get to verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I remember George talking about that verse there, "The Lord's goodness and mercy following." And "follow" there, I guess in the original, carries the idea of being pursued, like a lion or a leopard hunting down a prey. It's not the idea of just following along. The idea is God's goodness and mercy will follow us. It will pursue us like a wild animal and hunt us down. He wants to bless us. He wants to show us mercy. We sing songs in the Brethren hymnal. One of my favorites, number 47. And I'm just going to line that song. I lift my voice today in praise to Him who loves me so, whose mercy crowneth all my days and makes my cup o'erflow. Oh, have I loved Him as I should for all His blessings free. Praise God who giveth not but good, for He is good to me. Second verse. I thank Him for unclouded skies, for love beyond my ken, that when my path in shadow lies, the sunshine comes again. I thank Him for the hopes fulfilled, for every answered plea, that though life was not all I willed, my God is good to me. I go to meet another year, with faith no doubt can dim. God reigneth, and I will not fear, but trust my way with Him. Then if that way be bright or dark, let peace unshaken be, and let me like the soaring lark sing, God is good to me. In the chorus, I'll count my many blessings, count them o'er and o'er. I'll tell my Father's goodness, I will love Him more and more. I'll count my many blessings, so bountiful and free, yet I can never count them all, so good is God to me. There's a lot in this song that speaks exactly to what we're talking about here tonight. Do we love God like we should for all the blessings that He showers upon us? Understanding God's blessing, even though there are things in my life that don't go my way, though life was not all I willed, my God is good to me. And even though my way may be bright or dark, God is still on the throne. God is still reigning. And that should cause us to break out into song. God is still on the throne. Could it be that the greatest blessing of all is knowing that God is still on the throne, that Jesus has provided a way for us to come back into fellowship with God Himself, and that we can be forgiven of our sins? That's the greatest blessing of all. Knowing we have that opportunity, that Jesus made a way for us to come back into fellowship with God. If we believe that, then it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. Like Job and Joseph there. Even though we have rough circumstances, we can still hold on to the fact that God is still on the throne. As we go through, you know, our circumstances, we could be on cloud nine, everything going well. Or going through troubles and trials. None of that changes the fact that God is still on the throne. He's still reigning. And Jesus is still the only way. And so in those moments when we feel like nothing's going right for us, and everything we touch falls apart. I've been there. It happens. We can say with assurance that we are still blessed. Not because of anything I have done, but because what Jesus has done for me. We are blessed. And we do enjoy many blessings, more than we could ever count, as the song says, I count them more nor, you know, I can never count them all. We enjoy so many things. But it only takes one blessing to be blessed. each of us have the opportunity to accept the greatest blessing of all that we talked about, to know that my sins are forgiven and that Jesus is preparing a place for me to spend eternity with him. What a blessing. Many times we have the idea, or we've heard the idea, it's out there, that a life blessed by God will be filled with prosperity and ease. And that a life full of trials and hardships is God punishing for evil done. We have that mindset sometimes, or we hear those ideas. And we do know that God does bless many godly men with prosperity. Okay, look at the Old Testament, Abraham and all those were blessed with a lot of things. And even today, I think God blesses men with prosperity. We also know that God judges the wicked ways of sin. Okay? However, many times we see people around us who we know are not living in a God-honoring way, and yet it seems that they enjoy prosperity and their lives are fancy-free. We also know people, and we include ourselves, I think, in this, that we desire to follow God. We purpose in our hearts to surrender to God, and we have troubles and trials, and it just seems like it's just not fair. We sing the hymn 118 there, farther along. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested though in the wrong. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Both of these verses in the song make mention of the fact that there are ungodly people around us who seem to be experiencing prosperity and blessing. The psalmist there even writes in Psalm 73, verse 3, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." The psalmist here also saw evil men around him experience prosperity and ease of life. And he goes on for a few verses talking about that, how easy the wicked seem to have it. Verse 12 there in chapter 73 of Psalms, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. If the wicked have such blessing on their life, why should I continue to strive to follow God's command?" This is basically what the psalmist is saying. Why should I continue to strive to follow God's word if the wicked have it so easy? We may ask the same questions. We may wrestle with the fact that no matter how hard we try to follow God and his word, it seems that there's troubles and trials in my life. We read through the New Testament, the lives of the disciples there, and even the life of Jesus. Do we read of these disciples and even Jesus himself, of their lives being carefree and easy? Jesus Christ, the perfect example, the one who we look to, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, came to earth as a little child, not in a palace, but in the field with the sheep, laid in a manger. Was God's blessing on Jesus, on the life of Jesus? Absolutely, we know that. But as we look at Jesus Christ, our perfect example, and God's blessing in his life, we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." That doesn't sound like a life of ease to me. Enduring the cross, despising the shame. And yet we look at the end. Because Jesus followed God's commands, because he submitted his will to the will of the Father, now his blessing is to sit at the right hand of God the Father at the throne. God will bless those who are faithful to his word. We have the assurance that if we remain faithful to God and His Word, we will be granted a home in heaven to live with God throughout eternity. That's an assurance that we have. If we follow God's commandments. So hang in there. Hang in there. God desires faithful followers. He desires to show His mercy and His love and His goodness. Surely the goodness in there in Psalms 23. Surely thy goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Remember that. God desires to show us mercy. Hang in there. And the ones who do remain faithful, if we remain faithful to God and His commandments, we will hear these words. And I pray, my earnest prayer is that I would be faithful to God and His calling and hear these words. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Can we ask for anything else? Thank you for your time and attention.
Thinking about being blessed, it was a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to be part of the family of God and to have each other and to support each other, and I'm just thankful for that, to have been blessed to have grown up in Christian family and home and be part of this church. And let's stand for prayer.